Topic of the message is religious deception. Religious deception. There are people sitting in a building called a church all across America, the eastern shore of America this morning, that think because they came to church, they're okay with God. There's people all across the eastern shore of America today that they're paying a religious duty, they're doing a religious work, they're involved in something religious, and they think that because they're involved in it or because they have the denominational label on their life that they're going to be okay with God. And my friend, I'm telling you this morning, you must be born again. None of that religiosity matters if you've never been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. None of that religiosity matters if your sins have not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. None of that stuff is going to give you favor with God. The only way you earn favor with God is to be in His beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. It's the only way. And so here the Jews in Rome, no doubt, they had some religious deception. And so if you'll pick up reading with me in verse 12, the Bible says this, Romans 2, verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Let's pray this morning, ask God to help us. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the time you've given us to be together, Lord, another day that we can assemble together here in this sanctuary. Lord, I sense this morning amongst us, Lord, that we're just maybe not prepared or weren't, and now hopefully we are, for the preaching of your word. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to focus this morning. I pray the word of God would have free course. God, deliver us from just going through another religious exercise. God, deliver us from just sitting through another message and listening to another sermon and thinking that we're okay because we've come to church and heard the Bible preached. God, help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Lord, I pray for anyone that may be listening to my voice today. It's trusting in their religious associations or their religious works to earn them favor with you. God, just like the Jews, may they submit themselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and stop going about trying to establish their own righteousness. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for making a way that we can be born again, forgiven of our sins. And I pray this morning that you'll help our people as the word goes forth, that the preaching would be in demonstration of the spirit of power. And Lord, your word would have free course and be mixed with faith, that it would be profitable and effectual in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would say that religious deception is the most dangerous type of self-righteousness. When I say religious deception, what I mean by that is someone is involved in something religious and they think that just their involvement in it is good enough. They think that just by being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Mormon or a JW or you know, whatever the denominational title is, they think that just being that is okay. They think that just attending a church service is okay. They think that owning a Bible is good enough. They think that maybe even just reading that Bible on a daily basis is good enough. They think that praying is good enough. They think that all these religious exercises that we all do is good enough to earn them favor with God. And the point of this passage is to tell the Jews at Rome and to make the application in 2026, over 2,000 years later from this thing being written, is to make the application to us that it's not about your religious works, it's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so religious deception is the most dangerous type of self-righteousness. We go out here, we're going to knock these doors next Saturday. And inevitably, somebody will knock on a door and somebody will come to the door and we'll introduce ourselves and tell them where we're from so they don't shoot us, you know, or maybe they will shoot us for that, I don't know. But anyway, introduce ourselves to them and we'll ask them something like this. Sir, ma'am, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And most everybody says, well, I hope I'll be in heaven. And we ask them, that's great. We hope you're in heaven too. What are you hoping in? And then the religious deception kicks in. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody answer that question with, I've been baptized. How many times they've answered that question with, I go to this church, or I'm a part of this denomination, or fill it in. I go down and serve soup at the kitchen. I do all of these things that are religious in nature, and then you have to be the bearer of bad news. You have to stand there and say, well, we appreciate you doing that. We're glad you go to church. We're glad you do these things, but we'd like to let you know that none of those things will save your soul. It's only through Jesus Christ. And to not tell someone that truth of the Bible lets them continue in their religious deception, of which I believe Satan is the creator. Because if he can let people just be religious, but not be born again, they'll still die and go to hell. So God is primarily addressing the Jews in this chapter who think themselves righteous, and the reason that they think they're righteous is because they own, they have, and they hear the law every Sabbath at the synagogue. They think that by being a Jew, by having that lineage, by having that tradition, that they're okay with God. And the Bible says all have sinned, Jew and Gentile. There is none righteous, no, not one, Jew or Gentile. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, Jew or Gentile. And I'm telling you, this was a common misconception among the Jews, and I believe it's a common misconception among many Americans today, that if we're just religious, we'll be okay. You don't have to turn here, but in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing. You're familiar with this. And he comes, he's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's down in the Jordan River. And the Pharisees come out to see what's going on. And John, when he sees them, he looks at them and he warns them. He says, think not that you have to yourselves Abraham our father. And he exhorts them to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, he says, your lineage back to Abraham's not going to earn you favor with God in eternity. You must be born again. And he tells them, you've got to repent. Repentance is the name of the game, not religiosity. Repentance is what's necessary, not being in a religious formality. Amen. Repentance. John chapter 8, verse 39. And John chapter 8, verse 53, the Jews are arguing with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Wonder how dumb they feel now. looking at the Son of God, looking at the way, the truth, and the life, and telling him that he's wrong. I think it probably happens more today than we like to admit. In fact, in our own hearts, we may just look at God sometimes and say, oh, no, you're wrong. God's not wrong. He's all wise. He knows what's best for us. And these Jews are, they're arguing with Jesus. They're Pharisees and scribes and chief priests. And they're arguing with Jesus. And they tell Jesus, we have Abraham as our father. And he goes on a few verses later in verse 44 to tell them that Abraham is in fact not their father, but their father is who? It's the devil. Well, you talk about a smack in the face. And a few verses later, they say, we have Abraham to our father. We were not born of fornication. That's a dig at Jesus now. You know that. And then they ask him this question. They say, art thou greater than our father Abraham? And I wish Jesus would have just said, yes, I am. But he knows he's wasting his time arguing with them. But that shows you the Jews' mindset. We've got Abraham, we've got tradition, we've got lineage. Romans chapter 2, verse 13, you're there in the chapter. The Bible says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You know those Jews went to that synagogue every Sabbath day and heard the law read, heard it talked about, heard the prophets read, heard them talked about. And it seemingly made no difference in their life. I wonder if it made any difference if they'd had a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night schedule. The danger here for the Jews was they had the law, they possessed the law, they went and heard it taught and heard it expounded to them, but it made no difference in their life. And James warns in James chapter 1, flip over there just a moment with me. James chapter 1, there's a few verses beyond this and I want to read. James chapter 1 warns about this self-deception that I think is very alive and well in independent Baptist churches across America. It's very alive and well in King James only, missions-minded, separated, pre-tribulational churches. I'm not just a pre-millennial church, amen. I'm a pre-tribulational church. Amen. This is a danger to every single one of us in here this morning. If you think about it, you come to this church faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you are going to hear a minimum of 156 messages every year. If you come to the special meetings, you'll get 160, 170. You listen to WLRV every day like I do, and you catch three or four out of those guys, you just add that to the number, that's another 200 messages a year. You understand how much preaching you can listen to? And it's good. But it's dangerous. Because you just get used to listening to preaching. And you think, well, I heard Pastor preach Sunday. Well, I heard Brother Ron all week at noon. Well, I caught Brother Logan at 10 a.m. all week. Well, I didn't catch Brother Knox at 3, but I went back and listened to something by somebody else, and I caught the Facebook reel. You understand? And we think that just because we're consuming the information and we're hearing what's being said, that it's helping us and it's making a difference, but the hearing is not the end of the matter. James says in chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So those that only hear are self-deceived. Religious deception. I've gone to more Bible conferences than I can count in my life. And I can tell you this morning, I can probably only count on one hand the number of messages out of the dozens or hundreds that I've heard those Bible conferences that really made a difference in my life. You say, was the preaching bad? Probably not. It's probably right here is the problem. And the same would be true for you. You can attend this church 3 times a week and never get any help from God. You can hear the preaching right here 3 times a week and still be religiously deceived and thinking you're okay. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, the Bible is a great, great magnifying glass. It's a great mirror, the Bible calls itself. And you know what happens? We come to church and we sit and listen to preaching and the mirror gets turned on us and we see what we really are. We see the problems. We see the things we need to work on. We see what God expects of us. And if all we do is hear, goes in one ear and out the other, by the time you walk out those doors, you've forgotten everything that was said in the last 45 minutes. And if you don't make an effort by the time you get home to put that into practice, by the time you get home, you've had so many text messages and so many Facebook updates and everything else that's gone on. When you go to bed Sunday night, you couldn't say what one thing was the preacher preached Sunday morning. It's just flushed through. But you feel okay because you went to church. Now, I'm sort of making application to our church today, because most of you, as far as I know, have a testimony of being saved. But do you understand the religious deception? People sitting in a Catholic church this morning think they're okay with God and they're lost and on their way to hell. Those sitting in a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall think that because they went there, they're going to earn favor with God, and all they did was go and hear, and they're deceived. James goes on to say, 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So hearing deceives. Hearing only deceives. Being a doer of the word brings the blessing of God. Amen. Romans chapter 2. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but oh, how many have heard the gospel and did not act upon it in their heart, did not exercise repentance and faith toward God, and all they did was hear. And they think, well, because I heard, I'm okay. Romans chapter 2, look at the Jews' deception here. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. There's that tradition, there's that lineage. Bible says, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. We're God's people, they said. Not only that, we're God's chosen people, they said. 18, and knowest his will. We know what the will of God is, they said. And approvest the things that are more excellent. We can tell you what's good and what's evil. We can tell you what's right and what's wrong. Being instructed out of the law. Oh yeah, man, we got Gamaliel. We got Caiaphas. Amen. I don't know who the other guys are. He's the rabbi down at our synagogue, man. He's great. We got Nehemiah. I guess that was his name. I don't know. You understand? 19, art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind? Yeah, I can lead people. And a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast thee, and the word is. Now God warns about that, doesn't he? Here they have a form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. They could tell you what the law says. The problem is they weren't doing what the law says. And God warns in the last day of the church, the apostate state of the church, right before the rapture happens in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, people that say they're saved are going to have a form of godliness and deny what? The power thereof. They're going to come and they're going to listen to the celebrity preacher. They're going to come and they're going to listen to their pastor. They're going to go to the meetings. They're going to do all the things that are expected of them. And they're going to think, because I went and did all this, it's good for me. And I'm good because I went and did all that. But did you do anything that was said in the preaching? Did we do anything that was said in the Word of God? That's what makes the difference. And I'm telling you, these Jews, they were deceived religiously because they thought they had all this stuff that was going to make them right with God. And I'm telling you, you and I today have got to be so careful, because we fall right into the same religious deception. We can come and we can hear and we can be present. As I say many times, we can attend but not pay attention. And so the Jews had all this religious formality. They had all the possessions. They had all the tradition. They had all the lineage. And they were lost. Let that sink in. All of that, to the outside looking in, it all looked fine. To the outside looking in, someone said that they're right. But God, who looketh on the heart, not the outward appearance, said, you're deceived. And unfortunately, what happens is someone who's deceived religiously then engages in hypocrisy. And the Lord begins asking their questions down through here. He says in verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? And he goes on to say, thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Because just having the law doesn't make someone not steal. Just having the law and hearing someone read the law, just having the Bible and hearing someone preach the Bible does not prevent you from being an adulterer. It does not prevent you from being a fornicator or a thief. We have to take what the Bible says. We've got, those Jews had to take what the law said and put it into practice in their life for it to be profitable. The doers of the word are the ones who are blessed by God, not the hearers only. And so verse 21, he asks the question. Verse 22, thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? And the issue here is hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy dishonors God. The hypocrisy gives God a bad name. When the Jews go to synagogue and hear the rabbi read, thou shalt not steal, and yet the next day went out and stole time from their employer, it didn't do God any favors. When the born-again believer sits in church on Sunday morning and the message goes forth, and by Monday afternoon they've done exactly the opposite of what was preached in the church, it doesn't do God any favors, and it doesn't do us any favors. It's religious deception. And 24, the Bible says the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. I think that will be the height of embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ. The name of God being blasphemed is a serious charge. It's something that none of us should ever want to know. We should never want to be involved in it. That our life and the things that we do not match up the Word of God that we say we love, and therefore the people that know we go to church and know we claim to be saved, when we do the things that the unsaved do, they say, what's the point? And just hearing the Word of God isn't going to help you do it. That's a conscious choice that every one of us makes. Well, maybe we shouldn't have preached this today. I don't know. The Bible says that, well, it says that God's name is blasphemed through their works. That word blaspheme means to bring reproach. And the word reproach is to scorn or disgrace or to shame. And so God's telling the Jews, he said, you're not glorifying my name. He said, you're not praising my name. He said, you're blaspheming my name. You're bringing disgrace and shame upon my name and the reputation of God because of their hypocrisy. And what produced their hypocrisy? Just a religious deception. Just being religious, not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our world, listen, it's no wonder today. We're going to knock on these doors next Saturday. It's no wonder today people that are lost have no interest in God. Because the devil has so messed up the religious system in America. You got churches meeting today and it sounded like a rock concert in the sanctuary. You got guys that claim to be pastors standing on the stage with tattoos and piercings and all the thing and talking in hip lingo. And the world looks at that and says, what's the difference in that and Saturday Night Live? The Saturday Night Live host wears a suit. The ESPN anchor wears a suit, but the preacher is going to come in shorts and flip-flops and a polo shirt untucked and talk cool to people. What is that? It's blaspheming the name of God. It's giving people a low estimation of God, and it's disgracing his name. I wish they'd all stop. It's no wonder nobody's interested in the things of God. It's been so portrayed in social media and popular media and the towns that they live in. They see no difference in the people that claim to be saved and the way they live their life. It's religious deception. Well, John chapter 3, Lord help us. You saved today? You living like it? Mm-hmm. John chapter 3, verse 1. this is the example of what needs to happen from Romans chapter 2. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I was just talking to Miss Dava Wednesday night as she walked out, and she was asking some questions about things unrelated to church. And I don't know how we got to talking about it, about people that just think they're okay. They don't think they need to be saved. They just think they're okay with God. And I said to her, sort of knowing this was coming, I said, well, they're just deceived. They just think that because they go to church or they do all these religious things we're talking about, they just think they're okay. And I said, that's Nicodemus. You understand, Nicodemus was one of the most faithful, devout Jews in Israel in the time of Jesus on the earth. The Bible says that he's a ruler of the Jews. He's got power. He's got popularity. He's well known. They like coming to synagogue to hear him read Isaiah. You understand? He's a well known, and he comes to Jesus, the Bible says, by night, because if he came in the day, they'd just kill him. So this man is seeking for something. He's seeking for truth. Might I admit to you this morning, he sees the fallacy of religion and he's looking for something deeper. Praise God, there are some folks out there like that. We need to pray God would direct our path to them. Came to Jesus by night and said to the Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And I believe that's an honest assessment. That's the best way Nicodemus knows how to say this thing without finally saying, you're God in the flesh. He's being respectful. He's being humble. You understand? He's genuine. And Jesus doesn't respond to any of the compliments that he gives him in verse 2. Jesus doesn't respond to necessarily to his position or to the latest arguments within Jewish theology, Jesus looks at this highly religious man. He looks at this man that every one of us would want to be our neighbor because he's good and he's moral and he's kind and he pays his bills and he's, you understand? He tells this man the one thing he needs to hear. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus draws the line between religion and relationship right there. This man, Nicodemus, has spent his whole life in that religion. And Jesus looks at him and says, "It's not good enough, Nicodemus. You must be born again." All that religiosity has done nothing but to deceive you. Nicodemus, if you don't believe on me and get the new birth, you'll die and go to hell just like all the other people. And my friend, that's the reality in 2026 in America today. You and I all have neighbors and friends and family and coworkers and acquaintances that we all know, and they go to church and they think that just by going to church it's going to be okay with God, and they do these religious things and they work for the Isaiah 117 house and they do all the stuff that people think religious people are supposed to do, and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when they lift up their eyes they'll lift them up in torments. They'll say to us as we knock on their door, "I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Mormon, I'm a Catholic." The question that we return should be, "But have you been born again?" "Well, I go to church, I've been baptized, I've got a Bible, I read it, I pray, I flip the rosary, I do all these things." "Yes, but are you born again?" "Well, I give money at the church, I go on missions trips, I drop some change in the bucket when the Salvation Army's outside during Christmas." "Yes, but have you been born again?" "I attend church 3 times a week. Boy, Jesus, he told those Pharisees in Matthew 23, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He said, "You pay tithe of mint and anise and omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment and righteousness." And so here's Nicodemus, a religious man, one of the most religious men in Israel. And Jesus looks at him and says, "You must be born again. That religion's not good enough." Verse 14. As Moses lifted, now this is Jesus' sermon. I'm condensing it for sake of time this morning. 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's how you get born again. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how you get born again. Is it not amazing to you that the most popular Bible verse the world over, I'd say of any of the Bible verses besides "Judge not," people could quote this verse more than any other verse across the world. And yet so many of them that have it tattooed on them and have it hanging in their house are lost and on their way to a devil's hell because they're religious and they've never been born again. They quote you John 3:16, but they don't believe it. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Can I tell you this morning, church, and remind you, that's Nicodemus. Jesus just told one of the rulers of the Jews' religion, who's faithful and devout and genuine and kind and humble, he just said, "You're condemned already." Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Come with me to Romans 10 very quickly, and we'll finish this morning. Romans chapter 10. Religious deception, I believe, is the most dangerous type of self-righteousness. Religious deception is Satan's religion, his system. He's got millions and millions, if not billions, of people convinced that just because they're religious, they'll be okay with God. Just because they go to church or they go to mass or they go to synagogue, they'll be okay with God. Just because they own a Bible and have it sitting on the coffee table as they watch R-rated movies, they'll be okay. It's the devil's lie. It's our job to shine the light, tell the truth, so folks can turn from darkness to light and be translated out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. That's the church's job. Be different, amen. Well, Romans 10, here's what so many in religious deception are trying to do. Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That zeal of God. They're religious, but they're not doing the truth. 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish, here's what they're doing. Going about to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, hallelujah for this, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And those Jews working themselves frantically back during Jesus' day to try to keep that law and do this and do that and abstain from this and abstain from that. And God said, would you quit trying to earn your own righteousness and submit yourself to my righteousness that's in my Son, Jesus Christ? And to those here today, listen, in America, the same message is true. God's saying, would you quit running hither and thither trying to go and do all these things to earn and establish your own righteousness? Would you just submit to the righteousness that's in Jesus Christ and be born again? Religious deception's a dangerous thing. I hope nobody here is thinking those things that we've talked about today. I hope nobody here is deceived into thinking just because you come to this church 3 times a week that you're okay with God and never been born again. You must be born again. I hope nobody here thinks that because your mom or your dad or your grandparents or your lineage back 3 or 4 or 5 generations were Christians that you just by default are a Christian and you'll be okay with God because all those things that mom and dad did and the... You must be born again. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, it breaks our heart. So many are deceived all over the world. Breaks our heart, Lord, that seemingly folks could care less. It breaks our heart. Lord, I can't imagine what it does to your heart. We're sure sorry, Lord, that the devil's been able to get such a foothold. And that, Lord, your sacrifice on the cross is counted as an unholy thing when folks are trying to go about and establish their own righteousness. Lord, pray you'd help us to be the witnesses that we ought to be in this world. Help us to be the light that would help to turn those from darkness. God, help us as we talk to people about their soul, Lord, to kindly and compassionately, but boldly and firmly, Lord, challenge them as to what they're trusting. We don't want them to be religiously deceived. We want them to be gloriously born again. And Lord, we know that that's what you want for them as well. So help us, Lord, to be the witnesses we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to help folks to find the way, the truth, and the life. And God, I pray for our church family that is so faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. God, I pray for our church family here at Spring City that many of them for decades, for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years have attended church faithfully. God, I pray for our church here at Spring City where we have generations of Christians. God, help us to not think that just because we're here and we hear the word that we're okay. God, that we would give diligence to be doers of the word. And Lord, that you'd help us. We pray this every time we come together, Lord, to take the preaching and to mix it with faith and act upon it and apply it in our lives and in our hearts, that we might please you. I pray you'll work.